Francine says Jesus was attracted to these Eastern philosophies because of their simple wisdoms and teachings of peace, and that his brothers were more inclined to be skeptical because they had been ingrained with the ideas of Jewish rebellion against the Romans. As history tells us, later on these differences were made apparent when James and John became members of the Jewish Christians, and James became their head, but we will get into that later in the book. While in India and the surrounding areas, Christ again started attracting followers. According to Francine, he had several disciples while in India, and crowds would gather to listen to this young but seemingly wise man from Israel. It is also at this time that Jesus became much more ascetic in his way of life, to concentrate on his studies. He mingled with the poor and even did some healings. Francine says, unlike the Bible that states his first miracle was at the wedding feast of Cana, when he turned water into wine, his first miracle was when he healed a boy of leprosy in the area of what is now known as Calcutta in India. This was not a startling revelation to a country both then and now used to seeing a prophet or holy man able to levitate, heal, and give spiritual knowledge. Many of the holy men in India had done such acts. Francine says he was directed by God to do this, as it was a sort of baptism by fire for what was to come. As he studied and learned, his old Judaic teachings of a vengeful and fearful God changed to that of a loving and compassionate God. Although the more passive religions of Hinduism and Buddhism attracted him, Jesus could not reconcile his total belief in one true God with all of their teachings. He did embrace the philosophy of reincarnation and also the many loving concepts of both religions. He also learned to communicate on the level of his audience, giving stories and parables to get his message across to the poor and illiterate, rather than preaching dogma that they could not understand. This wisdom was to serve him for the rest of his days. For those of you who think this is pure fantasy, I have a big surprise in store for you. There are dozens of texts from Eastern scholars that indicate that Christ was indeed in India and the surrounding areas at that time. He was called by many names by different cultures of people. Issa, Isa, Yusasaf, Budasaf, Yusasef, San Issa, and Yezu. Many of these texts point out that he was a prophet or holy man from another land, and some even point out that he was from Israel. In Kashmir, in the city of Srinagar, are two separate fascinating monuments. First, there is the Roza Bal, or Raza Bal, which is purported to be the tomb of Jesus Christ. According to the beliefs of those in the area, Christ came to this area after his survival of the crucifixion and lived to be 120 years of age, and was then buried in this tomb. Also, on a large hill of the city called the Takat Sulaiman, Throne of Solomon, there is a monument that has four inscriptions, two of which are still legible. The inscriptions were recorded, however, and read as follows. The mason of this pillar is Behishti Zargar, year 54. Khawaja Rukam, son of Mirzan, erected this pillar. At this time, Yusasaf proclaimed his prophethood, year 54. He is Jesus, prophet of the children of Israel. Now, these monuments are very perplexing to Christians. They logically relate to Christ coming back to this area after his survival of the crucifixion. Therein lies the problem, because the Christian faith believes Christ died on the cross. One of the monuments is even supposed to be his tomb. Francine says that the tomb doesn't contain his body, because he actually died in France. But the people of the area so venerated him that they put up a symbolic tomb. Here we have two monuments in the obscure area of Kashmir that say categorically that Christ not only survived the crucifixion, but also came to this area after that event and lived. Both of these monuments are very ancient and date to the time of Christ. But are we to readily surmise that they are some elaborate hoax? What in God's name would be the point of creating such an ornate hoax when it is believed that Christ wasn't even known outside of Israel yet. It was not for several hundred years after his supposed death that Christianity would even become a popular religion. Christian scholars cannot give a reasonable explanation for these monuments, while scholars who believe he did go to India say they are part of their proof that he did. And still other scholars who believed he survived the crucifixion also say this is proof of his survival.